It's an honor to be here. I told Tim a while ago, the last time I spoke in a basement was among persecuted pastors from Iran. It was in the Middle East. And I think about that because when a church is under persecution, it reduces everything down to just some hard realities in life. And I really did not feel qualified to speak to those men. I have never been hunted, chased down for my faith. And I'm not so sure we can say that much longer in this country. But I will say this, what an honor it is to be in a place with a group of men who have a hunger for God. Amen. And when you know all God is all you got, I'm telling you, you will know God in ways you cannot possibly imagine right now. Let me ask you a question just to start with. I want to ask you about your trouble. What trouble are you facing? Just think about it for a moment. All God's children have troubles. Amen?
Amen.
And maybe your trouble is manageable for you. Maybe it's not. Maybe your trouble is the thing you did not want to think about tonight. But I believe God wants us to face our troubles for a reason. Maybe your trouble is in business. Maybe your trouble is in your marriage. Maybe your trouble, you think, maybe is minor compared to somebody else's. We hear about people that have what we call real troubles, and our hearts break for them. I've seen this all over this community. People will do amazing things in Mobile, Alabama when somebody's hurting, when there's a public issue of a person who's suffering. I've seen people all over the city come to people's rescue. But the reality is everybody faces trouble. Let me tell you a little bit of trouble that I have with my wife. My wife is a better athlete than I could ever think of. My wife knows football better than I could possibly. She was a Denver Broncos fan a long time ago. She's still trying to figure out us here in Alabama, especially in Mobile. When she asked, what professional teams do you have when we were dating? I said, University of Alabama, Old Tide. So, since she's a better athlete than I am, we love to hike and do things. We were walking in the neighborhood up in Saraland. I don't know if y'all know this or not, but we got bears in Saraland. Matter of fact, I talked to the mayor about possibly renaming the city Bear Country USA. I run into them all the time. On my bicycle, I run into them in my yard, I run into them when we're out walking. So we were walking. Take a walk with Kathy is really like going on the Bataan Death March. Moving. I'm trying to keep up with her. We turned the corner in the neighborhood, and there was a bear. We startled him, and he stood up. She took off running. And I heard her laughing. I watched out running after her, and I said, "Woman, why are you laughing?" She said, "The joke." I said, "What joke?" She goes, "I don't have to run faster than the bear. I just have to run faster than you." I told her, "You've got trouble. I'm having the bear." The woman at church, after I told that story, and I've told that story 100 times, some of my men are here, some of my deacons, some of my prayer warriors are here tonight. They know. I'm sorry, guys. You have to listen to me. But the reality is, this woman came up and said, "You're not supposed to run from bears." So I said, "You weren't there." Whatever, first impulse, go with it, baby. I'm here to talk about it tonight. Tonight's message I want to bring in simply, if you have your Bibles, open into Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. I want to talk about this. It's going to sound weird. Just hear me out. God's in trouble. God's in trouble. What Tim introduced me with a moment ago is true. This past 2 years, by the way, one of the reasons I'm actually here tonight is because men in this room who have become my prayer partners and my prayer warriors. And if you're a pastor, pull your men with you to pray with you. The power of God is in prayer.
Amen.
And I thank God because I
Amen.
I just thank God for the men to pray with you. Here's the point. About December of 2021, I get a phone call. Somebody wanted to ask me if I'd be willing to serve as president of the SBC. We start praying about it. When I pray about something, I also look to God's Word for guidance. Well, the Lord took me to a passage in Job chapter 5. Now, if you're being asked to do something, God takes you to Job. That's probably the first warning sign you ought to look at. It took you to Job chapter 5, verse 6, is what it said. For hardship does not spring from the soil. Listen to that. Hardship does not spring from the soil, nor does trouble sprout from the ground. In other words, you can't blame something else for your troubles.
Amen.
But verse 7 says, yet man was born for trouble, as sure as sparks fly upward. Man was born for trouble, as sure as sparks fly upward. And here's the truth. Years ago, when I was in college and going to seminary, I had a verse that I attached as my life verse. It's a psalm. It's Psalms 46. Verse 1 of Psalms 46 says that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in times of what?
Trouble.
What is your trouble, man? Whatever it is, I'm going to ask you tonight, in these moments we have together, I'm going to ask you to think about your trouble differently. I want you to see your trouble the way Jesus saw his trouble and the way Jesus sees your trouble. You see, because I could stand up here and say, like some preachers do, if you've got trouble in your life, something's wrong with you. Friend, I'll tell you, that's not true. Jesus had trouble.
Amen. Yeah.
But so there's some categories of trouble. There's attitudes toward trouble. Listen carefully and ask the Holy Spirit right now to help you see what attitudes you might have. A mindset toward trouble. Number one is a consumer mindset. A consumer mindset sees religion exists for the purpose of suiting me, comforting me, meeting my needs. It fits into my lifestyle. But when trouble comes, I want it to be fixed quickly. I mean, who doesn't? When trouble comes into my life, I want it out of my life. Amen?
Amen.
That's the same thing. That's not insane. I am not up here tonight teaching you how to get in trouble, stay in trouble, and how to enjoy trouble. Trouble is trouble. So there's the consumer mindset. Secondly, is the status quo mindset. And this is too easily satisfied with what little I know about God. I want to tell you, I have learned more about the character and the nature of God in trouble than I ever did on a vacation.
Yeah. Amen.
So the status quo mindset's got to be rejected. We need him.
Yeah.
Let me ask you something. How desperately do you need him?
Amen.
I love what Tim Keller says, or how he puts it. He said, we are Americans are middle class in spirit. Do you realize Jesus has never blessed the middle class in spirit? He only blesses the poor in spirit.
Amen.
Middle class in spirit, we pulled ourselves up by our own bootstraps. We had some talent, ability, and thank God for people that encouraged that. By the way, that talent came from God.
Amen.
That ability came from God. That hard work came from God.
Right.
All the things that we know it is to put food on the table, raise a family, build a business, have a successful marriage, all those things. I'm not wiping away in this statement. I'm just telling you that from the inside of your heart, you've got to approach God as poor.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
As impoverished. I don't care what you have. And by the way, whatever you have will never become your God when you approach God as poor in spirit. There's the make the best mindset. Maybe this is your. Sounds noble, but it often denies the reality or the pain that trouble causes. There's a low-grade fever of disappointment with God. This is serious. This is where you're looking at God thinking, man, why are you putting me through all this? Why do I have to do this twice? Why is there a second diagnosis? Why is there a third marriage? Why am I going through this same trouble? And you tend to... And I fear that many of our churches are full of people who are disappointed with God but just don't have the courage to admit it. There's the fourth one. It's the trouble-free mindset. That's the attitude I just referred to a moment ago. That's where some are being falsely taught that if I live right and do right, then I'm not going to have trouble. I don't know what you've been smoking. But I want you to know this. I smoke what I sell. I have been in trouble. I think you either are in trouble right now, or you're heading toward trouble, or you just came out of trouble.
Yeah.
And you say, well, I didn't come here to be told that the trouble in my life is not going to leave. By the way, if you have troubles and they go away tomorrow, praise God. Amen? But if you have a trouble that doesn't go away tomorrow, that's a trouble God has ordained for you to cry out to Him. And to seek Him. So we see this mindset of Jesus. So here's the point I want to make. It is natural to want to avoid pain, but it's unwise to deny the pain. Let me say that again. It is natural to want to avoid the pain. It is unwise to deny the pain. Think about your troubles as I asked a moment ago. Are they self-inflicted? Are they caused by an outside source? Are they common troubles? Every man in this room has got trouble with inflation.
Hello?
Isn't that true? That's a common trouble. Whoever's in the White House, that's our common trouble. Whoever's in the State House. But here's the question I want you to chew on like a cud. I love that, Jeremy. Chew on like a cud. Did God ordain your trouble? Has God put you in the midst of wherever you're at right now? Could your trouble be according to the will of God? If it is, I'm telling you, it's because He has a purpose that will bring Him glory and cause you to become strong and endure. The race, Paul uses athletic illustrations all the time because he knows the heart of a man. He knows the heart of a man needs to be told, your life's not over. I don't care how big your Barker lounger is. I don't care how big your television screen is. Sitting on your butt in front of that is not God's purpose for your life.
Amen.
God's purpose for your life is that you would shine like the noonday sun in the midst of troubles and a troubled world. That you would show the glory of God by somebody who, it doesn't matter what your GPA was. It doesn't matter how many touchdowns you scored. It matters that you believe the living God and that God is your God.
Amen.
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 God's in trouble. He's not in trouble in a way that we have to deliver Him from. He's in trouble because He dove headlong into trouble. Listen to this statement. Jesus left a trouble-free life to give you hope and victory in every trouble in your life.
Amen.
Let me say that again for the hearing impaired. Jesus left a trouble-free life to give you hope and victory for every trouble in your life. Two things I want you to see quickly. I want you to see the mindset of Jesus. One of the most powerful passages in all of the Bible. The mindset of Jesus was a selflessly humble man who humbled himself for the glory of God. Matter of fact, that mindset is so powerful that Paul says to the church of Philippi in Philippians 2:5, adopt the same attitude as that which is in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Have the same attitude in yourself, which is also in Christ Jesus. This is the most glorious passage in Scripture, the most Jesus-glorifying and honoring passage in the New Testament. Because He's about to tell us what this attitude did. And He says, adopt. Adopt. Look at verse 6. He says, who, existing in the very form of God, think about it, did not consider equality with God as something to be grasped or held on to. I love this translation. As something to be exploited for personal gain. Instead, he emptied himself by assuming the form of a servant. Literally, the word means a slave. Taking on the likeness of humanity. And when he had come as a man, that's humbling enough for God. But now he goes to the depths of humility. In verse 8 it says he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. He came as a slave man. He came as a servant man. He came ultimately as a dying man. Jesus dove headlong into this troubled world. That's what I mean when I say God's in trouble. And thank God he did. You know why? Because the Scripture says there is no other way under heaven given among men by which you must be saved than the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And so, but he's telling us something here about troubles. Jesus embraced our troubles. He had a mindset of utter selflessness. 1 Corinthians 2:16 says, "For he who has known the Lord's mind, and that he may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ." In other words, none of us are smart enough to tell God what he ought to be doing. So if you've been doing that in your prayer life, you all need to stop that. I had to learn to stop doing that. I was telling God in a time of terrible trouble in my life in the last few years, where I said, "God, if you would just do this." And then if you would just straighten out that person, if you get that guy and straighten out, God, if you would deliver them, if you would help them, then I wouldn't have the troubles that I'm having. Truth is, God doesn't need my instruction. Verse 7, "By assuming the form of a servant and taking on the likeness of humanity, he made himself man." So, what does the scripture tell us about Jesus? He dove into this pit of a mess. Can I tell you this? When Job said man was born in trouble, I think it could be interpreted in a lot of different ways. But I think the most profound and maybe the most difficult way to interpret that statement and that verse is that sometimes God calls a man to die in the trouble.
Amen. Amen.
And we're at a time, guys, where we have people who can't even define what a man is. Or what a woman is. And I'm going to tell you, thank God for women.
Amen.
I'll tell you what, you get a mama, she'll dive into trouble. Yeah, pull her baby.
Amen.
She'll dive into trouble, try to save her marriage. She'll dive into trouble. But brother, listen, we shouldn't let her dive in before we did. So when trouble comes into my life, what do I do? Do I wring my hands? Do I cry out, "Oh me, why now? Oh God, why this? Why me? Well, why is this happening?" Jesus did not exhibit that. And the Bible says we're to have the same attitude he has. He came as a servant in the midst of his trouble. So when you have trouble, you should see it as there's something here God wants me to do. And I need to serve. Jesus said, and it says of Jesus in Matthew 20, verse 28, that the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for men. 2 Corinthians 8:9 says, "Though he was rich, for your sake he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich."
Amen.
He took on the likeness of humanity. Stop acting like you're something more than what you are. He was willing to identify with us, and he loves us. But he died a sacrificial death. So Mark 9:12, it says, "Why then is it written that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be treated with contempt?" That's the word for trouble. Did a study of all the Hebrew words and all the Greek words that concern trouble or used that are translated as trouble. And what's fascinating to me is that the scripture makes it very clear Jesus did not hesitate. Look at verse 9. "For this reason, God highly exalted him and gave him a name above every name, so that the name of Jesus, every knee would bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue would confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Here's the calling of a man. God has called a man, as sure as sparks fly, to trouble. So let me ask you, that trouble I asked you to think about, is there something God would have you to do? You know, the Bible is full of wisdom literature. Proverbs are the wisdom literature. The book of James is called the Proverbs of the New Testament. Those are both books that are really good for wisdom. There is wisdom that will keep you out of trouble. And you should seek it and follow it. But there are some troubles you cannot avoid. I've made that point. And the truth is, God has called you to face that trouble in a different way than you ever imagined. So, that's the second thing I want to point out before I leave. And that is the mindset of a disciple. The mindset of Jesus is that sacrificially, he was willing to give his all for us. Amen?
Amen.
Friend, if you have not trusted him for that, if you have not thanked him for that, but trusted him that he is the only, the Bible says he's the only way to God. And that if you believe he did everything necessary to save you, you can trust him. He will save you. Now the mindset that works out of our lives is then in verse 12. Paul talks about what Jesus did and then he turns it on us. He says, therefore, my dear friends, just as you have now not only in my presence, but even in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is working in you both to will and to work according to his good purpose. Obedience to God's will in your life is the most important thing about your life. And he says, work it out. He doesn't say work for your salvation. He says, and this assumes, that you have trusted Christ as your Savior. God has put salvation in your life, and he will not be untrue to himself. If you come into your life, he says, now what I want you to do, man, is I want you to work it out into your life. God is working in you for you to work it out. And this requires having to face discouragement and difficulty and temptations and troubles. Brother Jeremiah made it very clear, the best way we can deal with lust is to start telling the truth to our wives about it. It's not the only way, but I'm just here to tell you guys, I have a shudder went up my spine too. That woman could run. And she could also strangle me in the middle of the night. But we got to work it out. When trouble comes, we got to work it out. We got to seek God for the solution. We got to cry out to God. Verse 13 says, to work according to his good purpose. God has a good purpose. But I'm going to tell you something. This life of brokenness and sin doesn't always feel good.
Amen.
And the things that happen, the trouble that comes in our life is not good. Do not walk out of this room and say, yeah, that first guy was awesome. That second guy was an idiot. He told us we were supposed to rejoice in our troubles. Let me tell you something. August of 2007, I'm in my office, I just kissed my wife goodbye, she's taking her daughter to Hattiesburg, Mississippi. Some of you already know this story. Halfway between here in Hattiesburg is a little church called Midway Missionary Baptist Church. We don't know why exactly, it's a beautiful day, there's no reason for it, but a truck was left and a semi was left in the middle of the highway, she plowed straight into it, was killed and so. We just celebrated our 25th anniversary of marriage. And when Tammy died, I want to tell you something, guys, I was crushed. It was a trouble beyond words. I felt helpless. I felt powerless. I knew I was in trouble, and I knew that verse that I committed as my life verse, Psalms 46, is God is my refuge. People ask me, what did you want to do? I tell my church all the time, I said, the reason I don't have a liquor cabinet in my house is it would be empty. I know what pain is, and so do you. You know what pain is. Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. Was it tempting to run? Absolutely. Was it tempting to end my life? Absolutely. To give up completely, yes. Why did you not give up? He who began a work will complete.
Amen.
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 Now guys, I want you to hear me. A lot of men's meetings, a lot of men's books today will say this. You're tough. You're a stud. You know what a stud is? It's a piece of wood hitting in the wall. Come on. There's some other applications. Your utter brokenness and helplessness before God.
Amen.
Believing that the God who made you fill you with his Holy Spirit and empower you to endure to the end.
Amen.
Not just to cross the line, but to win victorious.
Amen.
I'm telling you, the trouble isn't the ultra marathon that we're going to run. The trouble is every day, every step along the way when your knees are saying, stop, this hurts. When your back is in pain, when your heart is broken, when you don't know what to do, and you don't know if you're going to win or lose, the mindset of a disciple is that we are here to work it out what God is working in us. And people ask me all the time, they ask me about, how did you survive grief like this? And the only answer is Jesus.
Amen.
I had nowhere else to go. I felt like Peter when Jesus said, you want to leave me too? This is where we're going to go. Who else gave this all for me? And I want to tell you, what I found on that highway, halfway between here and Hattiesburg, was this overwhelming sense, as I see a tarp with my wife's body underneath, this overwhelming sense of crushing loss and the sense that I was helpless and powerless. And the power of God, who was present.
Hallelujah.
He's still in the room.
Hallelujah.
I'll tell you something, guys. Sometimes you don't want to know God as He really is. If He called me that morning and said, "Hey, I'm taking candidates after you." Then, no, you're not. No, we're going to change schedules. We're not going on that trip. I'm going to do, and I'm going to take your mind place. All kinds of games. Any widowers in this room, you know what I'm talking about. A crushing loss, and you're thinking, if I'd have done this, if I'd have done that. It ain't about you. It's about a God who is sovereign. I had somebody ask me, they said, did your view of God's sovereignty help you or hurt you when Tammy died? I said, yes. It utterly crushed me that God, before the foundation of the earth, knew that that day was coming, August 16, 2007. And it was utterly the most comforting thing in the world to know that this universe is not meaningless. There's meaning to even the most heartbreaking experiences. He says, "I want you to work it out," look at verse 14, "because I want you to shine." You see, do everything without grumbling or arguing. This is so hard to do when you're in trouble. This is so hard. He said, but do it without grumbling or arguing so that you may be blameless and pure, children of God, who are faultless in a crooked and perverted generation. Boy, did He ever nail us. Among whom you will shine like the stars in this world. And now, listen, at that moment, I could care less about preaching the gospel. I could care less about pastoring a church. I could care less about being famous. I'm here to tell you, in that moment, all I had was God, and He's all I needed. And the most natural thing to do when trouble comes is to grumble. The Israelites taught us that. Stop arguing with God and surrender to Him in trust about your trouble. Because it's easy. It's easy. And I'm going to tell you, there are forces. We were talking about at our table. There are forces that are seeking to divide us as men. Black men against white men against black men. Native people against non-Native people. Hispanic people. And I'm going to tell you, the foreign governments that want to destroy this country are using social media to do this. I'm not some nut job. I'm telling you, everybody knows this. You know it. If you know it, I know it. We, everybody ought to know. Why do we let it happen? Because somebody convinces you that somebody's robbed you of something, somebody's taken something from you, somebody's hurt you, somebody's harmed you. And you know what? Maybe that's absolutely true. But you have Christ, my brother. And if you have Christ, I promise you, there's going to be justice in you.
Amen.
Come on. My friend Tony Evans and I, were sitting on a golf course. And he wanted to meet me there. So I got at the golf course, we were having a meeting, we were talking, and he said, "Let me show you around the golf course." So he took me and showed me all over the golf course. He's got a great golf course, the church gave him. And he were riding the hills of this golf course. And we stopped, he looked at me and he said, "You know, 45 years ago I started Oak Cliff Bible Church." And he said, "I could not play on this course as a black man." He said, "But today I own the course."
Amen.
We have a just God, my brothers.
Come on.
We have a just God, and we ought to care about one another. But listen carefully. The mindset of a disciple here, Paul says, is to work it out. It is to shine like the noonday sun. Hebrews 12:7. I love this Message translation of this. Hebrews 12:7 said about our troubles that God is educating you. That's why you must never drop out. You can't unmatriculate from this course that God has you on. If you're a disciple of Jesus, you're going to face troubles. How you face them makes all the difference. He says, work out what God's doing in you. Shine like the noonday sun. But listen to this. He says, God is educating you. He's disciplining you as a father would. But here's what he says. God is educating you. That's why you must never drop out. He's treating you like a dear child. And this trouble you're in isn't punishment. It's training. There had to be times Jeremiah felt like he was being punished. In the heat and hot of August getting ready for a season. Brother, I'm going to tell you something. That training is what made him a champion.
Amen.
And that's what God has done. I came just to remind you that your trouble may be God's training.
Amen.
Verse 16 says, by holding firm to the word of life. Here's the third thing he tells us to do. He says, rejoice. Rejoice. Look at verse 17. But even if I am poured out like a drink offering, Paul says, on the sacrificial service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. And in the same way, you should also be glad and rejoice with me. Paul's trouble? He wrote this from prison. I have been in the prison cell in Rome that he wrote this from.
Hallelujah.
And it stunk when I got there 2,000 years later. He is in prison. His life and the gospel ministry is not. Now guys, listen to me. I don't know what you're heading for. I don't know what your future holds. I don't know what kind of trouble is going to come into your life. But I'm going to tell you, if you are God's child, nobody can touch you that doesn't have to go through him.
Amen.
And that God will transform your trouble.
Mm.
If we'll surrender ourselves to him. My oldest son, whom I dearly loved, when his mother died, dove headlong into opioid addiction. Wound up living on the streets of Atlanta, Georgia. And there were times praying for him, I thought to myself, Lord, haven't I had enough trouble? But I had to shake off that bad attitude. I said, Lord, you're over this, I'm not. There even came a day where I literally said to the Lord, Lord, I can't handle this anymore. It doesn't matter how much I pray. He's going to kill himself. As clear as day, the Spirit of God, and thank God for Oswald Chambers, a man I've talked to for the last 30 years almost every day. Actually, he talked to me in his room. My utmost for his highest. I said, God, you gave him a will, and that's the problem. I was telling God what his problem was. You know what the Lord said to Oswald Chambers? His will's not greater than mine.
Amen. Amen.
My son, one day after his eighth or ninth treatment program, just cried and said, Dad, I'll never have a normal life. I'll never be married happily. He said, I'll never have kids. I want you to know tonight he's holding a little baby girl in his hands.
Amen. Amen.
So whatever your trouble is, whatever your brokenness is, whatever your pain is, some of you are not serving God in your churches. You know why? Because you're broken and you're in the middle of trouble. And you're thinking, God can't use me. Oh, no, no, no. Your trouble is your training.
Amen.
Your trouble is your credibility. Come on. Your trouble is the very reason God has been shaping you. Not to look pretty at church.
Come on, bro.
Not to look like a normal guy. I don't care how you look. You may be tatted up. You may be, which is cool today. You know, the only people in circuses when I was a kid got tatted. But thank God, that's changed. Amen? If you're tatted, please don't beat me up like that. You don't have to be like anybody else. You are the most unique expression of humanity that's ever existed. God is your creator.
Amen.
You are made in his image. And I want to tell you something. He's going to get glory through your life if you will have Jesus' attitude about your troubles. Let me close with this. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 27. Jacob and all of Israel struggled with this attitude. They grumbled against God when trouble came, just like you and I do. It says, Jacob, why do you say, and Israel, why do you assert? So the Tim, turn the mic. Thank you. I love Tim. You got it? He says, Jacob, why do you say in Israel, why do you assert that my way is hidden from the Lord and claim that he is ignored by my God? Listen to me, guys, real quick. This is simply saying that the children of Israel, just like us, grumbled and complained against God, and when trouble came, they said, Lord, you've forgotten us. Remember when trouble came? They said, we want to go back to Egypt where we had all the food we wanted to eat. Are you serious? We went back to Egypt where everything was free. Are you serious? Well, we were quick. How did the Lord respond? He said, "Do you not know? Have you not heard that the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the whole earth? He never becomes faint or weary. There is no limit to his understanding. He gives strength to the faint. He strengthens the powerless. Youths may become faint and weary, and young men will stumble and fall, but those who trust in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar with wings like eagles. They will run and not..."